Okay, so today is February 10th, and this is the free ethics call and coaching, staying out of ethical hot water. And what we're going to be looking at today is we're going to be reviewing the code, the new, I'd say revised code at the ICF, a little more detail, and talk about some of those changes and what they're about. But before I jump in too deeply, for those of you who do not know me, my name is Tina Elliott, and I'm a PCC and BCC credential coach. I'm a longtime member of the ICF Ethics and Standards Committee and the Independent Review Board, which is the board that reviews ethical complaints. Some of you know me from ILCT as a faculty member there, and basically I am passionate about ethics, which is why I do these calls and also do training on coaches staying out of ethical hot water. So we're going to be looking again. The last time we had this call, which was last year, we went through the first part of the ICF code and talked about some of those changes and what they were about. So I want to remind everyone here, too, that this call is being recorded, and it will be going out to coaches around the globe. So just want to let you know that if your confidentiality is important to you or you want to protect yourself in any way, then feel free. You do not have to share your name. Just feel free to engage in the conversation. We will try to keep the lines open. So again, like I mentioned a moment ago, feel free to either use your phone to mute if you need to, or you can use star 6 to mute and then star 6 to unmute on this particular conference line. All right, so let's jump in for today. You know, ethics is interesting. We like to say ethics can be like nailing Jell-O to the wall. You know, sometimes it's like a moving target, and sometimes it's kind of interesting. We'll read the code, and I know probably all of us have done this at some point, read through the ethics code, kind of check it off and go, yeah, oh, yeah, of course, oh, yeah, I don't do that, oh, yes, I absolutely operate that way. And then what happens is we get out there in the world of coaching and building our businesses, and, you know, we're like, we're out there, we're excited about the work we're doing, and we start engaging with clients. And then all of a sudden, sometimes, you know, we're not aware of something, or something might pop up, you know, that you're like, ooh, I didn't notice that initially. And these are the kind of things I like to say that, you know, coaches get into hot water about. It's just sometimes a little bit of lack of awareness or not being fully conscious of what they're doing. So again, you know, these are things to be aware of. Sometimes it's just a matter of being a little more aware of how we're operating. That can truly keep us out of hot water. So the most important thing, though, is that we operate ethically from an ethical perspective in working with our clients. We've got a little bit of noise on the line, and I'm not sure what it is. If it's from your end, if you could mute, I'd appreciate it. Star 6. So, you know, our clients typically come to coaching because they want to achieve something. They want to accomplish. And in our excitement about this many times that we have a new potential client, we're excited, we're talking to them, we're sharing, you know, we're letting them know about things and what individuals achieve working with coaches, and sometimes we might get a little overzealous. And we have to be aware of, you know, our conversations with our clients and what they're about and how we're selling ourselves out there. You know, it's really interesting. We're going to be talking a little bit about some of that today. But I get a lot of emails, as I'm sure many of you do, probably more than we would like sometimes. And, you know, I got one the other day. It was kind of fascinating, and it just said something like, I'll guarantee you will gain 3 media interviews as a result of this. So, you know, guarantees, that's pretty interesting, a coach guaranteeing results, something we kind of all have to be careful about. And I'm curious what any of you think about, should we be promising results as a coach? What does anybody think here?
Well, every client's unique, and so therefore the results are going to be unique based on who they are, what they bring to the table, and their experience. So I don't think it's necessarily a good idea to guarantee anything, really.
Good point. You're right. You're right. All our clients are unique, and they're doing the work, and they're working at their own pace. You know,
well, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Okay. I would like to comment on that. We can't guarantee anything.
Thank Thank you.
Guarantee is a word that we use to try to promote whatever it is that we're doing.
Right.
We can't even guarantee that we're going to be living tomorrow.
Good point.
So I think we need to really be careful when we go into that area.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And it is a conscious, an area we need to be really conscious about.
Correct.
You know, there is a flavor in the code about that, to be aware of it. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. So thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
But you're right. These are things that sometimes, and I'm just sharing this because sometimes coaches just really aren't aware of this. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little closer look today at the revised ICF code. And, you know, we're going to dive in a little bit, talk a little bit about some of the changes, because there's a few reasons for some of these changes. Whenever the code is typically updated, the changes are about, one, it's creating more clarity, and two, there was quite a change this last year where things became, we actually wanted to create a more positive stance in the code. So it was more about what you do versus instead of what you're not supposed to do. So that positivity, the statements were changed pretty dramatically to reflect what you are to do. And then one of the really important parts of the update to the code is in regards to updates that were required due to complaints that were received. So when we talk about some of these changes, some of the additions, I like to see, say, heads up, this is what's going on. So please know that I am not allowed to speak specifically about complaints, but if you listen here, you'll be able to kind of understand some of the complaints that have been going on in the industry with the ICF. So let's go ahead and jump in. We're actually going to Section 2, which is Conflict of Interest. This is where we left off on the last call. And we left off at number 14, which was clarifying roles for internal coaches and setting boundaries and review with stakeholders, conflict of interest that may emerge between coaching and other role functions. So again, this piece of code came to be because internal coaches weren't necessarily feeling supported by the ICF code. And there is conflicts of interest that come up for internal coaches who are working within companies, because many times internal coaches are not only asked to coach coachees at that company, they're also asked to provide their services and support on other projects. And sometimes that can create a little bit of a sticky situation if, let's say, one of your coachees is there and you start working with them, let's say, on a specific task force or something like that. Can you all imagine how you'd have to be pretty conscious about what's being said and what's going on in your interactions with this individual? Make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions on that? Okay. Yeah, we're going to focus more specifically on any changes in the code. The others that remain the same, we're going to kind of skip over. Okay. So we're going to look here at number 16. And what's happened here, this is the honor and equitable coach-client relationship, regardless of the form of compensation. So basically, this is very similar. We actually had two other pieces of code in the old, we'll say the previous ICF ethics code. And this was number 11 and 12, which actually was about, 11 was, I will only barter for services, goods, or other non-monetary remuneration when it will not impair coaching relationship. And then number 12, I will not knowingly take any personal, professional, or monetary advantage or benefit of the coach-client relationship except in form of compensation and agreed in an agreement or contract. So I think what's important when we look at this one is these were actually combined. They pretty much say the same, but it's really about being aware of bartering, being aware of what you're bartering, and being aware that you're honoring, as it says here, honor an equitable coach-client relationship regardless of the form of compensation. So just be aware that there is, you want equitable there if you're bartering services, et cetera, those types of things, to be aware of that. Okay? Any questions on that? Okay. So let's take a look at the 17. It's been updated a little bit as well. So 17, it says, ethically speaking, which I hope we are ethically speaking, that's what we're talking about here, is what I know to be true to clients, prospective clients, and sponsors about the potential value of the coaching process or of me as a coach. So, again, true to clients and prospective clients. That's what we were talking about a minute ago. Does everybody see that? What I know to be true. Can we promise results? Okay. The potential value of the coaching process. Could we be potentially overstating that? Could we be in our zeal or our excitement about talking to clients and the wonderful work that we do, could we be overstating the value? And so what that means is be aware. You know, are you overstating what a client can receive? Questions or comments on this particular piece of code?
I think that's good.
Go ahead. Who was first? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's fine. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, would it, you think, be within the scope to say something, not I guarantee, but you can count on me as a coach to, you know, ask questions to help you clear, you know, some of the definition of what a coach is.
Good point. Definition of what a coach is and what a coach does, right?
Right.
That's pretty important, isn't it, to really be clear about, and our role. You know, what is our role in the coaching relationship, right? Yeah. Good point.
I think that's very, this is Mary again. I think that's very important to be clear about our coaching role, because many people think we are counselors, and counselors were viewed as someone who's going to fix a person. But with coaching, the person actually has the answer and knows what the issues are. We're just helping them to sort them out and bring them to the forefront.
Good point. That is certainly one definition of the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important because although our clients, many of our clients have super great successes. And, you know, in truth, there's nothing wrong with sharing prior successes of your clients with the caveat that it is based on the work the client does. And it is different and specific for every client, right?
Correct.
There's a male voice here who's going to say something. Who is that?
Yeah, this is Dion. That's what I was going to say. On our website, what we do is we have a clause of testimonies, about seven of them, just short descriptions of what people have written and given us permission to share. But right before that, we do say that every client is unique and that their results will be individualized, you know. So I think it is good to have testimonies, but to make it clear that this is their testimony, yours may be different, and your results may be different.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. You know, this is an important thing to think about how we put ourselves out there and things that we share and how we share them. You know, in the world of, you know, marketing out there today and social media and all the things, you know, we do have to be conscious about what we're sharing and how we share it. Questions or comments on that? All right. So let's take a look at this other one here that's changed a bit, which is number 19, have a clear coaching services agreement with my clients and sponsors. And then it says before beginning the coaching relationship and honor this agreement. The agreement shall include roles, responsibilities, and rights of all parties. Now, this was a prior piece of code, but there were additions here, which actually says before beginning the coaching relationship and honor this agreement. The agreement shall include the roles, responsibilities, and rights of all parties. So, again, it's not just about having a clear coaching services agreement with your clients and sponsors. Sponsors is a key part here, too, if you're working with sponsors or companies or parents or aunts and uncles or whoever is paying for the coaching. But note it says before beginning the coaching relationship and that we need to honor our roles in that particular contract or agreement as well. Is there questions, any questions around this? You know,
Tina,
I would
have one. This is Denise. So if you're meeting with someone for the very first time and they haven't really made a commitment to coaching maybe yet, Mm-hmm. Would you go over the contract at that point then, it sounds like, before going into anything further?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. Let's talk about that for a minute. I think typically when our clients show up and they're interested in coaching and you may have that complimentary call or that meeting, you know, many times I don't know that we get into that detail. I mean, you can, but it's really about getting the client to see if you're a good fit and understanding if you'll work well together. I think what this really is about is before beginning the actual session, your first paid session with your client.
Okay.
You know, it's to really make sure you have that agreement and that agreement is solid, it is clear. I always say signed. You want the best protection is to have this an agreement that is signed, okay? This way it's very clear. And then even to be on your first call potentially with your clients is, you know, if you'd like to just really clarify what the roles and responsibilities are. You know, it's a great way, again, to reiterate that. So your client's crystal clear when they show up about how all of this is going to work. Is that helpful?
Yes, that is. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have questions? Yes.
Yeah, this is Donna. What about when you're an internal coach? How does that work?
How does that work when you're an internal coach?
Yeah, for doing, you know, agreements with each employee or, you know, how does that?
Yeah. Well, typically it's different at every company, and every company has their own process in how their coaches work with their coachees or their employees. And also how the agreements and confidentiality and all of those types of things work. But, you know, the internal coach is like any coach, has a responsibility to clearly explain things like confidentiality and how that's going to work. And typically when a coach is working within a company, and this is kind of the muddy, I like to say, muddy areas of coaching sometimes, is they have a responsibility, you know, a company is paying for a coach to be there and to coach individuals, and there is a responsibility typically to be reporting to either a sponsor, HR department, et cetera, just about high-level progress or goals. Okay, and that's even how we do with leadership coaching from the outside, from, you know, an external coach, same way. But we keep confidentiality intact. Meaning we don't discuss what goes on in the actual coaching conversation. Is that helpful?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions on that? Okay, let's take a look.
Are you saying, I was going to ask you one question on that. So are you saying that you can talk about the results if there's a goal set, but you can't necessarily talk about what the specific challenges were to get there or how do you, I mean, that sounds really hard. I don't work in an internal, but I'm wanting to, and that sounds really hard to do that. And I was wondering how you can,
well,
you know.
It's really common. Let me just share a little bit about that. It's a very common practice in leadership coaching, whether it be external coach or internal coach, that when a company is paying, there's an expectation of results. There's an expectation of improvement. And typically how it works is that, you know, the agreement is made to coach an individual, whether it be leadership development, et cetera. And whether it's external coach or internal, then the coach is signed or selected to work with someone. And there typically are what's called high-level goals, so a high-level statement goal about what they want to work on. And there is a metric that goes along with that. There's a starting point where you meet with three-way with managers and create the goals either based on assessment or conversations. And these high-level goals are created. The manager also has input, and you're somewhat rated on those. So sometimes a rating between 1 and 10, they're all a little different. And how that individual is doing, because those are the development pieces. And then there are typically meetings midway and at the end that actually allows you to meet again with the manager and discuss progress. But the sticky part of that is you need to keep things on a very high level as the coach when you're involved in these three-way meetings, and you do not go into detail and share anything as the coach. You actually allow your coachee to share, if they so choose, anything about your conversations with them. Is that helpful?
Yes. Is there a form or is there an example that we could find somewhere to see what that looks like in real life?
I don't know. I'd urge you to go ahead and search that on Google, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Great question. All right, so let's take a look here at 20. Holds responsibility for being aware of setting clear, appropriate, culturally sensitive boundaries that govern interactions, physical or otherwise. And there was some addition here as well that says that I may have with my clients or sponsors. So know again that, you know, there's an addition here to be culturally sensitive, aware of boundaries and interactions, be it physical or otherwise, so physical, verbal, et cetera, that I may have with my clients or sponsors. Okay? Questions about that? Okay. Let's go ahead and take a look here. This is the next one, 21. This one was expanded pretty dramatically. So, you know, a lot of coaches will say, well, this is something I'd never do, but it's obviously there's something going on here. We wouldn't be expanding it so dramatically. So it basically says avoid any sexual or romantic relationships with current clients or sponsors or students or mentees or supervisees. That part is new. It says, further, I will be alert to the possibility of any potential sexual intimacy among parties, including my support staff or assistants, and will take the appropriate action to address the issue or cancel the engagement in order to provide a safe environment overall. So there's a lot more to this than this is what it used to say. So listen here. I will not become sexually intimate with any of my current clients or sponsors. So notice there's additions here to students, to mentees, to supervisees. Okay. Also, it says among parties included in my support staff or assistants and will take appropriate action to address the issue or cancel the engagement in order to provide a safe environment. So, as you know, that indicates something going on here. I know this is one that sometimes is hard to talk about. These are never easy things to talk about or discuss. But again, it's really important how we operate with our clients and be aware of these types of things. Any questions on this particular piece of code?
Oh, this is John Angevine. It just sounds like a no-brainer. So obviously someone didn't do what was right. But when you say appropriate action, What specifically is that referencing? Does that mean reporting it to the client's chain of command, or does that mean, you know, reporting it to the organization that the coach comes from as you become aware of a situation?
Okay, that could be part of it, but I think the appropriate action is to address anything that could potentially be going on or happen immediately. And as it says, cancel the engagement. You know, this is really about providing a very safe environment for not only clients, but coaches, mentees, supervisees, et cetera.
Okay, so it's taking a very tactical view down to what's going on at that very moment, vice there's secure the safety of the individuals at hand. Then what?
Then what? Cancel the engagement if you need to. Refund people's money. Yep. Absolutely. Address if you have staff issues or something going on with staff between attendees, et cetera. Even if something going on with assistants at this engagement event, et cetera, shut it down. Because what's most important, as we know as coaches, is to provide a safe environment. Okay? Good question. All right, we're going to take a look at 22. It's basically pretty much the same, but again, just respecting our client's right to terminate the coaching relationship at any point in the process, subject to the provisions of the agreement, and then remaining alert to the indications that there's a shift in value received from the coaching relationship. So, again, this is important to have in your agreement, you know, cancellation processes, termination processes, policies around that, and then also noticing if there's no value for your client. They're just showing up, work's not happening, et cetera. So, again, an important thing to be aware of, it is our job to bring it forward if we don't see our client really receiving benefit, and checking in with our client about what's happening here. Questions or comments on that? Okay, so we're going to talk just a moment about number 23, and this is basically pretty much the same. It's just been combined. See that we took two pieces of code and simplified it a bit. And this is encourage the client or sponsor to make changes if I believe the client or sponsor would be better served by another coach or another resource, and suggest my client seek the services of other professionals when deemed necessary or appropriate. So basically, again, this is about, you know, noticing that a change is needed. So you have a client who shows up that's showing signs that they really need a therapist, or there's other professional services required that you feel is required, listening to what they're speaking about or what's happening for them. And that's important, that we make sure that our clients get what they need and request that they get what they need. Questions or comments on that? Okay. We're going to jump into confidentiality. Red light. This is a big area to be super aware of. So it says, as a coach, I will maintain the strictest levels of confidentiality with all clients, sponsors, and information unless release is required by law. So what does that mean, required by law?
Somebody's going to hurt themselves or hurt somebody else.
That's part of it. Required by law is court order. Required by law could be mandated reporting, which, again, we'll talk a little bit more about that one. But released by law is typically court order. Okay? And, again, it's really important. You know, our confidentiality with our clients is critical in the work that we do with our clients. And this is that muddy area, again, is what information goes to a sponsor and what information does not. And does your agreement clearly state what information goes to the sponsor and how it gets to the sponsor? You know, there's been some real, I'd like to say, difficult situations regarding confidentiality around this, which is why I highlight this almost every time I speak about it. It's clearly defining how communication happens. Your best source of communication to sponsors is always the client communicating or the coachee communicating directly with the sponsor, which is always the best. Not to say the coach can't be there in support of it, but that's typically the best process. Questions or comments on that?
Tina, this is Anne, and I have a question on that. And I took your wonderful four-week class, which pretty much redid my coaching agreement. But since then, I'm running into a client who does not feel they really need to pursue the direction that the sponsor would like them to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually called the ICF Ethics Hotline and discussed it with them confidentially. But it's getting a little better, so I have hope. But I don't know if you can speak to that. My question was, do I have an obligation if you tell me that you do not feel you need to pursue competency X and your boss does feel you should pursue competency X? And then you said the best thing to do is have the client speak directly to the sponsor. Do I need to be on that call, or do I need to know that that happened? Because that was another concern of mine, is I may say discuss this with your boss, and I don't know if that ever happened. So any of those that you can speak to, I thank you.
Okay. Well, of course, there's different approaches, and based on agreements and things like that, it also depends on what's in agreement. So that's the caveat. But what I do suggest is when there's something like that or there's a conflict between what a boss considers and what a coachee considers is a development goal, then it's really important they get together, and it's best if you get together too, so you have an understanding about what it's about and see if there's some way to gain clarity on that and see if there's a way to actually find a way to move forward with that goal, potentially in another way. Okay? Is that helpful?
Another way besides coaching.
Yeah, let me just give you a little example on that so you understand that.
Thank you.
So you go into a company and you have an individual that you've been assigned to work with for leadership development. They want to move into the next level of leadership, and so leadership goals are defined, and one of the big goals was listening. okay? He needs to be a better listener to be a better leader. So that's what's put down on a development goal, and you're like, okay, everybody's in agreement, and you start working, and that's one of the, let's say, three goals. So you start getting clear about what's happening for your coachee and working with your coachee, and he keeps, you know, he's not doing the follow-up work on a weekly basis that, you know, you agreed to together. So you address that and say, I'm noticing you're not doing the work that we're agreeing to. Tell me what that's about. So he finally says to you, well, I just don't see that this is important to moving to the next level, and I don't get it. Okay, so you really start to coach around that. And start to talk about, you know, what are some of the big aspects of leadership that are important in being a great leader. And you start to coach around it. And this particular individual is like, well, listening is not important, but all of a sudden it is important when he realizes that it is key to all of the other leadership pieces of that are important. The skill set is being a good listener is the core of developing all the other skills. And once he realized that, and it was a critical component and the role it played in leadership, all of a sudden he had an aha moment, and working on listening was okay. Does that make sense?
It does, and I have seen a little bit of enlightenment, and I hope for more. So thank you for addressing that, Tina.
Right, right. So, you know, that's a sticky situation sometimes. I know doing leadership coaching, that can be a sticky situation. So I just want to share that. All right, let's go ahead and look here at number 26. This actually was already in the prior code, but it was very minimal. So, again, this was dramatically expanded. So, having a clear agreement when acting as a coach, coach mentor, and then added as coach supervisor, trainer, with both client and sponsor, and then added is student mentee supervisor about the conditions of which confidentiality may not be maintained, e.g. illegal activity pursuant to valid court order, subpoena, imminent or likely risk of danger to self or others, and make sure both client and sponsor, student, mentee, or supervisee voluntarily and knowingly agree in writing to that limit of confidentiality. Where I reasonably believe that because of one of the above circumstances is applicable, I may need to inform appropriate authorities. So this was actually a piece of this, not to this degree, was in a prior code a few years back. So we'll say back in, 2005. This section was pretty much removed in the last rewrite of 2008. But it was put back in because, again, it's super important about being aware of confidentiality and when we see a risk to our clients that we make sure that we agree in writing to that information will be released if we see this happening. Many therapists and other individuals may call it mandated reporting. So I think it's important to look at this and say, yes, it's back in the code, so it's covered, and I need to notify my coachee or my client that this will happen, that I will release information if I see illegal activity, if there's a court order, if there's a risk of danger to self or others. You know, this is really important. There are specific states in the country that you are, as a coach, a mandated reporter, and then there are many that are not. I typically check with my local health agency every couple years to see if, as a coach, I'm considered a mandated reporter. But regardless, this is back in the code, so now it is considered, it's part of your ethics to let your client know these are the areas that you will be clear about when you'll release confidentiality. And notice there's many individuals here, not just with clients, it's as a coaching supervisor, a student, mentees, supervisees, etc. Questions or comments about that?
If you coach across state lines and the two states have different laws, does that come up?
That's a great question. And that's a great thing that I think all of us need to be aware of. You know, how do you do that? How do you report if something comes up in another state? I think the important part is it's back in the code and it's part of what you do, but finding the appropriate agencies, whether it be a state or international work, is important as well. You know, what do you do from an international perspective if this comes up with an international client? And where do you report that if necessary? Now, these are important things for you to really think about as a coach and understand, you know, what you would do in some of these circumstances. The odds, I know, typically are slim, but it does happen. And I think any coach over time, something like this will happen throughout their career at one point or another, typically. Questions or comments? Okay. All right. So, again, big change there that's added back into the code. We want to take a look now at this continuing development because this is, you know, this is new here. Number 28, which is commit to the need for continuing and ongoing development by my professional skills. So we have now really added some new things into the code, which is there's a requirement now for continuing education in ethics. So I think it's important to be aware of that change that starts in 2016, that coaches are required to have 3 continuing education units in ethics specific to renew your credential. So understanding ethics and understanding more about ethics and becoming more aware is now a requirement by the ICF. Okay? There's some addition here to the ICF pledge, which is in this part 3 at the end of the code. And again, it's expanded, and I'll share that expansion here in a moment, but it says, as an ICF coach, I acknowledge and agree to honor my ethical and legal obligations to my coaching clients and sponsors, colleagues, and to the public at large. I pledge to comply with the ICF ethics code and to practice these standards with those whom I, here's the addition, coach, of course, teach, mentor, and supervise. So again, expanded beyond clients, expanded in regards to teaching, mentoring, and supervising. Okay? And then again, it's important when we look at the code for more information on ethical conduct review processes, including a link to the file. To file a complaint, please click here. So this is an addition, meaning any one of your clients, coachee, et cetera, reading your code, all they have to, if they feel a need to file a complaint against you as an ICF coach, they just click the link and they can file right there. So, questions or comments coming up so far around this? Let me ask this question. What is sticking out or really are you noticing from this review today and the changes?
For me, I'm Mary. For me, there are a lot of changes. That's what's sticking out to me. And apparently they're all based on someone, you know, crossing the boundaries or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep, somebody crossing the boundaries is a nice way to put that. Nice way to put that. And notice it's not just in the work. You know, this is something that I teach in my course, my 4-week course, where we really dive deeply into all these topics and all the different ethical areas that coaches are getting in trouble, is it's really important. It's about awareness, and it's about even more than that. It's about our own value systems and how we operate. It's about operating ethically on a daily basis as an individual. You know, yes, it's true, the ICF only has authority and right over you as it comes to your profession, but I urge coaches to even look at how they operate on a daily basis. Because when we become more aware of how we're operating as an individual, it really does highlight and make us more aware of how we operate as a professional. So, again, if anyone's interested in that or getting this coaching agreement that was mentioned earlier that covers all the ethical hotspots and legal aspects, there is a workshop starting February 24th. It's 4-week course. It starts it's at 7 p.m. ET, so it's an evening course for those who are busy during the day. And it's jam-packed. Again, tons of 18 hours you can get of continuing education units. So I urge you to go to my website and check it out if you like. It's under workshop, so you just put in Tina Elliott Coach in Google, go to my website, and look at workshop. However, I will continue to have these free calls. There also is an ethics newsletter that I send out for free because I am passionate about coaches being ethical and staying out of hot water because it's no fun to go through an ethical conduct process. It's painful. It's stressful. Questions or comments on everything we've talked about today?
Thanks for sharing. This is good stuff.
Okay, great. Would anybody here like to share just anything else that they received out of our time together today?
Tina, I have a question. If there's like three or more people from one organization, do you offer a discounted rate?
Say that again.
If you have, let's say there are four people from my organization that wants to take your course coming up on the 24th, do you offer a discounted rate for a group rate?
We might look at that. If you want to email me about that or give me a call, I'm happy to discuss that with you.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Okay, all right.
Awesome. I'm with LaQuisha on this one.
Okay, good deal. Keep in mind, this goes really deep, you guys. You get 20 tips of how to stay out of ethical hot water based on complaints and an agreement that covers all the ethical bases plus U.S. law, federal law. So the agreement itself is worth the price of admission. All right, everyone. Anybody want to share from today something they received?
This is John Angevine again. To me, this is comes down to common sense, and maybe it's just my background over the last several decades, but it just reinforces, codifies common sense, at least the ethics that as a military officer that we go through, very similar type of issues. Trust me,
right.
We have lots of folks that break the rules, but it's good to have this stated in a tangible way.
Right. You know, and that's a really great point you bring up. This should be common sense, and you think it would be. And what's interesting is even people that typically have a lot of common sense or would consider themselves having it, they get out on a limb with excitement or whatever's going on, and they kind of lose that common sense. You know, so that's a great point. Great point. Anybody else have... share a feedback, something that was important they received today.
Tina, I have one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned about companies working together and you said about the avoiding the intimate relationships, I understand from the coach's perspective that you shouldn't be engaging in any relationships with anybody you're working with, including sponsors, coaches, et cetera. Are we supposed to stop it if we find out, let's say, a sponsor is engaging in a relationship with a coworker, but it has nothing to do with us personally? Are they saying you should stop that as well, or is that more about protecting yourself with anyone that you're directly working with?
Well, I think it's about sometimes what we have to think about is we start into coaching and we coach, our clients. And so that's always our first focus is clients, but then also to consider sponsors and your engagement with sponsors. And what the ICF has done here is really expanded even further. Many coaches like myself who've been coaching as long as we have, we end up becoming trainers and mentor coaches and those kinds of things. So, it's saying in these other capacities, and even your responsibility for your own staff, for your administrative assistants. A lot of coaches go and they do special events and, off-site events and retreats and all these types of things. And we're saying, this is really becoming aware. It's important to really become aware of how you're operating in these events or even in the social aspects of these events. Make sense?
Yeah, I get it from our perspective. I'm saying, though, if we have, a sponsor and a coachee that we're working with, if they have a relationship, that's not what it's talking about, right?
No.
It's talking about our direct relationship with anybody that we're influencing or being around with us
you
personally.
Got
is
it.
That correct?
You
okay,
got it.
I just wanted to make sure I was on the right page
yeah.
there.
You got it right.
Okay.
You are on the right page there. Okay.
Yeah, and that was my question. I clearly got our personal responsibilities and whatnot, but what if we have our what's our responsibility to report when we see others' activities going on?
Well, and that's another great point. There was another piece which was talked about in the prior call, a new piece of code that was actually implemented into the code that there is a responsibility, you know, to report. You know, if you see others going on, is, you know, it's important to report that kind of stuff. Okay? All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for being here today. I'm closing off a little bit early, but thank everybody for being here. I want to say those of you at ILCT who are ILCT members, you are welcome to also register for this course at ILCT, and please do so. So thanks to everyone for being here. I appreciate your time.